All right, go ahead and open up your Bibles to the first chapter of Mark. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study of this wonderful gospel. And we're going to be hitting two key points in Jesus' ministry this morning. We're going to be hitting his temptation and his message and the reason why he is actually here. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, says, "Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word and the messenger, Lord, of it today. We pray that the message is clear, compelling, convicting, and brings you honor and glory. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, last week we had the baptism. And as we've said before and as we've noticed as we're reading, John is very brief and very quick in his movement, or Mark, through his movement of this gospel. He doesn't hit the details like the other gospel writers do. And even today, as we see with the temptation, very little is actually said. And we're going to kind of hold to that as we go through. We're going to kind of keep in the context of how Mark has it presented. We saw Mark start his gospel out with announcing Christ. He says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we immediately go into the story of John the Baptist, and how he is the precursor of Christ. How the Old Testament prophesied of who he was and what he would do. And John's actual ministry was only about 1 year. From beginning to end. And Jesus, at his baptism, came right in the middle. Right about the 6 month point. So John is proclaiming his message of repentance. Jesus comes, he is baptized. We said last week, all of heaven was opened up. And the Spirit of God descends on Christ, acknowledging, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it says then, Jesus left from this, and it says immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. So Jesus is in a sense, crowned king at his baptism. John MacArthur actually calls it his coronation, to where, you know, as the Spirit comes upon him. And immediately, the Spirit takes him into the wilderness. And it's at this time that he is alone for 40 days. And during this 40 days, he is in a battle with Satan. Now you can go to the other Gospels. You can go to Matthew. And Matthew is very, very detailed in what happens. But Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days without food. He does not eat for 40 days. I don't necessarily know if I can contemplate what that is, because it's hard for me to go without food for 40 minutes. But Jesus is without food for 40 days. And basically 40 days, scientists and doctors will tell us, that's about the maximum that the human body can withstand not having food. Okay? And during a time like that, you become weak. Like I said, if I go 40 hours without food, I'm weak. Jesus is going 40 days. And throughout this entire 40-day period, Christ is being battled by Satan. Hebrews tells us that he was in all ways tempted like we. You know, so during this whole period, Satan is bombarding him with temptations. And the big three that Matthew goes into, you know, the cast yourself off the pinnacle or turn this stone into bread, those all came at the very end. That was when he was at his weakest and Satan gave him the biggest temptations. Now you might say, why was all this happening? Was Satan trying to dethrone God? Was he trying to take God off the throne? And I'm sure if he thought he had any kind of an opportunity to do that, that would have been his motivation. But it wasn't. Because he knew he couldn't take God off the throne. But what he was hoping was that he could thwart the humanity of Christ. That if in some way he could reverse the humiliation that Christ had taken upon himself, knowing what was coming in the salvation of mankind being within Christ. Satan knew if he could only destroy that, then in essence he could destroy God at the same time. So he didn't want Christ to not be God. He wanted Christ to not be human. And that's why he came at him with such zeal. And notice, it was right after a great victory that Jesus had. As the heavens opened up, as the Spirit of God came down upon him, as a voice cried out from the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You'd think that he would be able to relish in that mountaintop experience, that he'd be able to ride that for a while. But it's right after that that he's attacked. And believer, sometimes in the days of our lives when things should be the greatest, sometimes when something has happened where we have seen God in a special way, it's right after that the attacks begin. It's right after that that Satan comes after us. And I believe that's why Mark, in just these two simple verses, puts this in here. He doesn't go into the great detail of everything that happened. But he wants his readers to know that things that happen to us sometimes are beyond even the things of this world. About 20 so years ago, the church was inundated kind of with the supernatural. I mean, it was commonplace for people to talk about Satan. I think Leon Panetti wrote his book, In the Present Darkness. And we were fascinated by the things of Satan. Well, it seems like it was kind of a fad. Because we don't really acknowledge the adversary anymore. And unfortunately, in most of our lives, in most of the things that happen every day, we don't need to. I do well enough on my own messing up without blaming the supernatural. But you know, Paul, in his letters to the Ephesians, he wrote, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the special spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, we can dismiss the supernatural because we don't necessarily see it or experience it. Or, like Paul, we can acknowledge it. Not use it as an excuse, although sometimes it might rightly be. But realize that there are going to be times in our lives when we're attacked. And for the most part, those times that we're attacked are going to be times when our communion with God is at its greatest. I want you to think about children, your children. Think about them growing up. And maybe when one of them is getting special attention from mommy or daddy. Maybe it's their birthday. First day of school. Some special event. And one of the other children, whether they're older or younger, may not like the attention that the other one is getting. So what do? They try to mess that up. And the last thing Satan wants from a believer in Christ, from a child of God, is for that relationship with God to grow ever stronger. And it's going to be at those times that we're going to find things happening in our life. Now the question I have is, why? Why, when I am at such a great place in my life, or striving to do my best with God, would God allow this type of testing? Simple answer is, I don't know. I do know that the things of God don't always make sense to me. I do know that James chapter 1 tells us, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." God wants us perfected in him. God's goal for us, it's not a new car. God's goal for us may not necessarily even be a new job. It is not peace on earth. God's ultimate joy for us is the crown of life and the crown of glory. And as long as our minds are so focused on the here and now, we will never truly see what He has in store for us. And if God can take His only Son and put Him through what I'm pretty confident to say is the worst temptation ever experienced by anybody, then we can expect much the same. And He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And He was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to Him. You see, even when we are in our deepest of trials, we are never alone. As we, if only our spiritual eyes could be opened to see everything that was around us. And as Jesus is in the wilderness, hungry, battling, the angels are ministering to Him. So realize, believer, that what we see with our eyes is not everything that there is. But there is a battle going on. And might I say, there's a battle for your soul going on all the time. And we may think that what we're going through may never end. But it will. And as long as we stay focused on Him, we can come out with that crown of life. So don't expect to be able to go through this life without trials and temptations. I think we've all, every one of us who's a believer, we can say that we've been through a time of trial and temptation. Some are worse. But no matter what we're going through, when we're going through it, it tends to be the worst, doesn't it? I mean, I may have a splinter in my finger, but while I have that splinter in my finger, that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean. Realize that you may be somebody's angel. Jesus was alone and being ministered by angels. Paul in 2 Corinthians tells us that we are comforted by God. And that comfort sometimes comes through other people, other believers. My problem is, I've got a lot of pride. I know, it doesn't seem like I do, but so usually, for the most part, if I'm going through a trial, you'll never know about it. Sometimes that's wrong. I need to let the body know if I'm going through a trial. But like I say, sometimes my trials consist of a splinter in the finger. So I don't want to come and whine and cry because of, oh, my finger hurts. But sometimes there's legitimate needs in our lives that we're too prideful to share. So how can I be a ministering angel to you if I don't ever know what's going on? And that's why I think Mark has placed this account here in the very first chapter to let us know, number one, the trials will come. We are going to be tempted. And take advantage of those around you and be someone to someone else in their time of need. So this was 40 days. This was almost a month and a half after Jesus' baptism. So now we're going to be missing about 3.5 months. Mark doesn't cover them. The other Gospels do. So they kind of, you know, Jesus begins his ministry. He begins going around and talking, proclaiming the kingdom. But Mark goes straight here in verse 14. He says, now after John had been taken into custody. This is again John the Baptist. We said his ministry was a year. What happened was he went around baptizing for a year, and at the end of that year, he was arrested. He was then placed in jail for a year, another year, until the wife of Herod, I believe it was her birthday or some other special occasion, she says, you know what I want? I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. So Herod had him killed and beheaded. So we're at the end of John's public ministry. John has been arrested because Mark says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. See, the message of God throughout the entire Old Testament was repent and submit unto God. The last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, ushering in the new kingdom, his message was repent and believe. The Son of God, as he begins his ministry, his message is repent and believe. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the peripherals. If I were to take a questionnaire this morning and have everybody give me an answer to this question, what is it to be a Christian? I imagine I would have answers all over the board. We are to be kind to the poor. We are to care for those in need. We are to fill in the blank. And are those all things that we should be doing? Yes. It's part of who we are. Why? Because we love our neighbors as ourselves. And as children of God, we need to be doing all these good things. But the message of Christianity is the same today as it was some 2,000 years ago. It's the same message that John the Baptist preached. And it's the same message that Jesus, the Son of God, proclaimed. And that message is, time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's it. That is the message. Not only is that the message, that is the answer. Well, Dan, what does repenting and believing have to do with me and my job situation? What does it have to do with me not having enough money to feed my family? We're going to have troubles on this earth. There has always been troubles. There will always be troubles. But there is only one shot for eternity. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Amen.
If we don't get that right, then does anything else really matter? What would it be for a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? Where is our focus? Is it on the things of this world? You know, and I'm pretty confident that I can say that the focus of most everybody in this room is on the things of this world.
Amen.
You know why I can say that? Because it's true of myself. I understand what it is to put my confidence in the things of this world. But I'm learning more and more what it is to put them in the things of God. If we were to only realize. I mean, I want you. Let's take a trip. Okay? We're going to take a trip. A friend of mine's down at the beach this week. I get pictures text to me of sunsets and sunrises. And I grumble under my breath. But imagine we're walking on a beach. It's twilight. The sun is going down. And as we're walking on the beach, admiring the beautiful weather, we reach down and we scoop up a handful of sand. And our fingers are kind of open, and we kind of shift the sand until it's all fallen back to the ground. And we look at our hand, and there's still 100 or 1,000 It's hard to tell because sand is so small. But our hands are still covered with grains of sand. And we brush our hands off and we look and there's a grain of sand on my pinky. And I pick it up and I look at it. That grain of sand can be representative of our life, our total lifetime, in comparison with the eternity of the sand on the beach. Our lifetime is that one grain of sand. Eternity is the entire beach, from the tip of Florida to the tip of Maine and beyond. Yet we put so much emphasis in this one grain of sand. May God give us perspective. Because that grain of sand has the opportunity to affect all the other sand on the beach. If only we repent and believe in the gospel. Yes, times within that grain of sand seem much. We will go through trials, we will go through temptations. The Son of God did. And realize that 40 days of temptation was not, Jesus didn't graduate into another form of humanness after that. He still suffered temptation throughout his lifetime. This was probably the most intense, though. And the angels were ministering to him. Believer, I want us to leave today with two things in mind. Maybe three. Number one, be ready for trials and temptations. Number two, open your eyes and look for the angels of God that He has for you. They may not be what we want. God may send me Melanie as an angel. I'm being funny. But we don't know what they're going to look like. But if God sends me Melanie, and I'm expecting Mark, then I could be disappointed because I'm not getting what I think I want. Open our eyes. You, as a believer, be that angel to someone in need. How well do we know people? Seriously. Some of you, I feel I know rather well. Others, I get to meet your Sunday best. As a family, for the most part, Beth knows when I'm going through something. Even if I don't tell her, she knows. We should be like that as a family. We should be able to tell that something's going on. Let us be angels to minister to you. And lastly this morning, as we're going out and doing our good works, as we're feeding the community on Thursday night, the last Thursday night of the month, as we're whatever we're doing that we look at and chalk up in our good category, Let's not forget the most important message of the faith. Repent and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask your blessing upon our lives today. Lord, as we strive to be what you'd have us to be. And Father, you've empowered us this morning, if we know you, with your Holy Spirit. You have given us every tool that we need to be successful in our Christian walk and in this life. Father, help us to see things in the perspective that it is. Father, may our cry to you be that as we live for you, and to die is gain. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us so we might have the opportunity to repent and believe. Father, grow us in the knowledge of you, for that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.